Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this evening, the 11th of January, 2010, for another exciting broadcast here, the Hour of the Time. But first, if you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOTT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com, and the studio number here in Eager, 928-333-2942. That's 928-333-2942. And in Canada, the studio number is 613-733-4324. Now, if you'd like to contact me via email, you may do so by writing hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a few quick reminders this evening. Always have something to write with, pen, pencil, paper, whatever, I don't care. Also, we just had some inquiries this weekend and today concerning the Pennsylvania Conference. Yes, we are still keeping it open because a lot of people are new, just getting on board with Hour of the Time. They're seeing, I would say, at least conservatively, 90% of them always mention in their phone calls, letters, and emails that they are seeing the ill behavior of the charlatans out there in the so-called talk patriot world and are coming to the Hour of the Time because of truth and documentation. And we appreciate that. And we pride ourselves in that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd also like to stress that because we are keeping the Pennsylvania Conference open still, we will have to redo the payment schedule for the installment payment. So don't take this announcement and then go in there to the shopping cart if you're not going to mail it in. It's better just to mail it in my opinion. But if you're going to use the shopping cart route, then just ignore those dates. I haven't gotten around to changing the dates that says deposit, first installment, etc. But the outline is there. And once you're paid up past your second installment, then you're going to start seeing emails, etc. Concerning the Pennsylvania Conference. Also, we're going to be having a call to everyone to contact me so I can work with each individual or family that's coming, and we can start working out the lodging arrangements, you know, a couple in this room, a single in this room, etc. That way nobody's in conflict on the room and lodging when they show up. So the Pennsylvania Conference is still open. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is listener supported, and we do rely on your donations for research materials in the form of DVDs and audio broadcast series that are available via the website and the Hot Shop. at hourofthetime.com to continue our broadcasting, our research, our speaking engagements, and everything that goes in to the operation. And there's all the mundane things, too, that people seem to think are magically free. Well, you did the work, they'll tell me, on the MP3. Just send it to me and send me this one and this one and this one. Well, yeah, the MP3 is recorded, but that isn't paying for postage and cases and envelopes and electricity and phone and shopping cart and server fees, streaming fees, etc. So have some common sense, ladies and gentlemen. Now, after this musical break, be prepared to take notes, and we're going to cover some topics based on audience input. This evening is, what does a person that's new to firearms ownership need to know or need to do, need to own, etc.? A lot of people don't have the experience that maybe I do, so, or others in the audience, so we're going to cover what are the basics and fundamentals that you need to know and do to be a firearms owner in this country and use it effectively. This isn't a course on ballistics or external ballistics. We've done all that in the past, trajectories or recommendations. These are the fundamentals that even the old timers forget. So it's a good refresher for them as well. Gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, of course, another quick reminder, be sure to give us input, because I don't run the Psychic Friends Network and I don't know what you're thinking or what skills or knowledge you might be lacking in. So, input. Simply tell me some ideas of what you'd like to hear on Hour of the Time by emailing me at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for the topic. Many people out there have seen the times a-changing, if you will, and have went out and purchased a first firearm, whether that be a shotgun, a rifle, or pistol, and now they're at a loss of what do I do? What do I do beyond the manual? Well, that's the first step, because I don't know how many people I've talked to who didn't even read the manual that came with it. So that's the first step. Read the factory manual that came with it. If it didn't come with the manual, a wonderful source is like our Hot Survival PDF library. In that, in fact, under gunsmithing and firearms, there's over 1,000 manuals in PDF format. You can also use company websites for downloads. The model number will be on your firearm. And this is for those of you who got it and you inherited it, you bought it at a yard sale, swap meet, used shop, whatever, and it didn't come with the manual. Start there. And, of course, this broadcast this evening, because we're going to go over the fundamentals. Now, I've made up a little Word document, which is nothing that any of you couldn't have done, but since we are gearing tonight's broadcast toward the new owner, I simply have a list of items that we're going to cover tonight and then hyperlinks to them in a Word document, just a two-pager of shortcuts. So when I'm telling you, well, this is something you should have, then you'll know right where to get it. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, as well, as in any enthusiasm, hobby, sideline, anything you do out there, you can get as low or as expensive as you want to go. Okay, I don't care whether it's collecting CDs and baseball cards or firearms. And just remember, the adage often stands true about you get what you pay for. So don't get something that just seems too good of a deal in your maintenance and cleaning supplies. And you don't have to get the fanciest that's meant for 1,000-yard match shooters either. So these links are just shortcuts to help you in all the different areas we're covering this evening. If you want that, email me, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and we'll send that right out to you as an attachment. Now, like anything else out there, vehicles, maybe a tool, a lawnmower, your body, there's certain things you have to do. You have to clean it. You have to care for it. You have to feed it. You have to maintain it. And I don't know what the stigma is about firearms. So many people abuse them. They get rat nested forever underneath the bed, and they've got more dust bunnies on them than the lint pickup in your dryer. They won't function hardly, which is only going to get you in trouble. It ages them prematurely. They get rusty. So maintenance. You wouldn't go for 3 months without taking a shower, would you? So clean your firearm. Keep it clean. Work in the time as part of the regular regimen of your household duties to check your firearms, whether they're just one piece or a collection, and have it kind of a schedule, a routine. Get into your safe. Get into your multiple safes. I don't know how many you have, or just get your one individual firearm, and every month just check it. Is it getting gooed up? Where you had it stashed, was there a leak and it got wet in the case? Does it still function smoothly when you do safety checks, cycle it, etc.? And all this can be done right in your living room of course, with care, ensure the firearm is unloaded first. So those are general practices. If you have a larger collection, be sure, ladies and gentlemen, to make it a scheduled just item around the house. That once a month, once a week, every quarter, what you feel is appropriate for your storage conditions and your use, check them, give them a nice light coat of oil with a rag, and put them back away. Make sure there's no spider nest building up in the barrel or something that will impede its operation, accelerate its wear and aging, etc. It's a large investment. Keep it safe, keep it running, just like a vehicle. You lube it, you do oil changes. This is like any other machine, ladies and gentlemen. Now, some of you may have gotten your first firearm, let's say, and you got it. Now what do I do with it? Well, whether it's new or used or whatever, it's new to you, you need to become familiar with it via the manuals, via other instructional manuals. And we have thousands of those on file here at the Hour of the Time. You need to become familiar with it, field strip it. What are the basic takedown procedures? Do you need special tools? If you do, do you have those special tools? Most firearms don't require special tools for routine maintenance beyond maybe a screwdriver or punch. You can buy a drift punch of the proper diameter on an individual basis. You don't have to buy a whole set of them at the hardware store. Get a good hollow ground tipped screwdriver. Hollow ground tipped screwdriver. The sides don't just slope down like a cabinet maker screwdriver. They're hollow ground, which means the full width and depth of the blade can insert into the head of the screw, into the slot, the figure, if you will, because that is a technical term, because they're not all slotted, so that it engages properly and doesn't strip the head off. Now, once you become familiar with the field stripping, that's the term, the basic takedown for cleaning and maintenance. Practice it until you know it by heart. If you have a big collection, well, then you better memorize a bunch of procedures. That is your responsibility as a responsible owner. You have a duty, ladies and gentlemen, to your loved ones and those around you to know the safety, the functioning, and procedures of that firearm. Either to use it in defense of your properties and family against all enemies, foreign and domestic, or routine outings to a shooting range, whatever it may be. You have a responsibility as an owner. No different than owning a vehicle or something else. There are certain responsibilities that come with that. Now, for starters, you need cleaning supplies. That's your big maintenance thing, and I see so many people neglect that. Proper lubrication, whether it be oils or greases of a sort, it's of the utmost importance for the lifelong use of that firearm and you to pass it on to maintain it. You could start with a basic cleaning kit. If you know you're going to have further firearms acquisitions, you could start with a universal cleaning kit. You do not need to start with a high-end coated stainless one-piece rod that competitors use that only goes to one particular rifle. Those are add-ons, like any other hobby or sport. You can get as deep into it as you want. Start with a universal kit, though. If you think you're going to get other acquisitions in different calibers, maybe your first acquisition was a handgun, then you're going to get a rifle or whatever, or vice versa, and then a shotgun. Your universal kit is a good start. It will clean several calibers, several gauges, all in one nice box. It's self-contained. And then all you resupply is the cleaning patches, the oils, the lubricants. Okay? Now, if you email me for my cheat sheet of hyperlinks, you'll see there listed under cleaning and maintenance, the first topic, because it's one of the most neglected amongst owners. You'll see a couple specific universals that with students that I've taught, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them I've taught, a couple specific ones that are good value. They're not the highest. They're dang near the cheapest, but you get what you need to start. Then categories on the internet as far as universals, handgun specific, rifle specific, shotgun specific, and if a firearm is an integral part of your bug out bag, your survival kit, whatever you want to call it, then you need to make sure that gear that you need to maintain it, to field strip it, as in cleaning supplies, maybe that one screwdriver, Allen wrench, what have you, or drift punch, if you even need that at all, is in that kit as well. And you can bag it up, you can get the factory packaged one, repackage it, because a lot of that is display and organizational space. It doesn't need to be as big as how you buy it. Repackage it in a small pouch, a roll-up pouch, a bag, I don't care. But ensure that if the firearm is a part of some kind of emergency evacuation bag, that also cleaning supplies are part of that regimen. People tend to leave that off. And I don't understand why. They'll have a pack overloaded with ammunition. I mean overloaded. More than they need, unless they're a real piss poor shot and they should be using that ammo up, becoming a good shot. Because you can always resupply yourself with the things that we've taught already, in fact, at the hour of the time. Now, cleaning gets left off. They'll have hordes and hordes of ammunition, making their pack too heavy. They're not mobile. They're not fast. They're not agile with that pack on. And a bunch of outdated MREs. And they tend to forget about the sundry medical items and cleaning supplies that they need for those aspects. Now, in your cleaning kit, it'll consist of jags or tips or loops for the end of the cleaning rod. And that's what holds the patch, the little square circle of cotton that cleans the bore, lets you reach down inside magazine wells into mechanisms and get out the goo and gunk as you're cleaning down the barrel, the bore of the barrel. The end of the rod also will allow you to screw on to it bore brushes. And if you clean and have a good regimen as far as shooting technique, what you're shooting, how often you're maintaining your weapon, you can avoid using bore brushes every time you clean it. Because the more you rub any metal against any other metal, you risk damage at some point. Now, the quick way around it is get a cleaning kit, read the instructions in there. I haven't seen one that didn't come with good general directions. But there's a few tips that we learn out here that make things a lot easier. When you first start your disassembly, maybe before you even leave the range and on your drive home or what have you, run a nicely soaked swab. Or patch, I should say, more proper, because swabs and patches are different, actually. A patch down the barrel of solvent. And it's working the whole time you're driving home then, loosening up crud, lead, plastic, copper, gunpowder, primer, mercury. Loosening up those deposits, doing work while you're driving home, which you had to do anyway. Avoids a lot of scrubbing, saves a lot of time. If you choose not to go that route, make that the first step as soon as you field strip. Don't get all fascinated with looking at this and taking springs out that you don't know what they do and probably can't get them back in. When you get your basic field stripping done, do the barrel. Set it aside. while you're doing all the rest of the mechanism, magazine wells, cylinders, general lubrication, the exterior of the firearm. So again, it's doing its work while you're doing other stuff. This is a time-saving measure and actually a supply-saving method, because if you learn these techniques when you're working with limited resources in bad times, they'll go a lot farther. A few of the little tips that really help. Throw down some newspapers under your cleaning surface. Your spouse will be much happier when she comes back to the kitchen table and it's nice and cleaned up after you, rather than nice and slick and some hardcore bore solvent that you might have bought is bubbling up the Formica top. So just lay down some newspapers. I lay down a whole 2, 3, 4 layer thick, fully folded out stack. So I got lots of room to play and work. Throw my dirty patches down, oily rag, whatever. And when you're done, bundle it all up. They burn wonderful. If you have a fireplace, throw them in there. That's up to you. But either way, they burn wonderful. Or just go out in your backyard and burn it. I don't care. Fire's neat. So, there's your area. There's your work area. Do not become interrupted. Don't do it when you know that you're going to have company coming over right then. Don't have the dog jumping in your lap. Don't do it right when you know you got to take a phone call, because you don't want to lose some spurious part or forget what step you're in. The newspapers, old t-shirts. Old t-shirts make wonderful rags. When they're worn out, cut them up, throw them in a drawer, what have you. What I use for a cleaning kit for multiple supplies is a simple $4 Made in America plastic toolbox. Got it at True Value. It's got the lift-out tray, the bulk storage in the bottom, fits nicely on a shelf, and is enclosed. I open it up. I've got multiple rods, patches, oils, greases, Q-tips, a couple pieces of t-shirt cut up, all in one kit. And then you put it up out of the way. When you're done, take it to the range with you. Grab it. You know you've got everything in there. So that's a good storage way. Q-tips are wonderful. They let you reach into the breech, the action, in small areas of the frames, magazine wells, and around parts, and get into all those corners. You can buy generic Q-tips for this. You don't need to buy name brand. Just make sure that they're woven quite tightly on the tips. You don't want the big fluffy ones that are just going to disintegrate and leave more cotton lint in your mechanism than the dirt you were trying to get out. Something to think about, ladies and gentlemen. Now, another thing that is a great tool, toothbrushes. You get a worn-out toothbrush, you're done using it, throw it in your kit. Go buy a couple generic toothbrushes at the dollar store, I don't care. Throw them in your cleaning kit. They're wonderful, so scrubbing down inside of parts, in between and around sites, because it'll get into little areas that your patch and fingers can't get into. Rear sights, front sights, inside of magazine wells, up into breeches and receivers. Old toothbrushes are a great deal. So your sundry items before your basic, besides your basic cleaning kit, Q-tips, old t-shirts and rags cut up, newspapers when you're working, toothbrushes. Now, we're going to stop there just for a musical break, and then we'll continue on with supplies you need, things you need to do to practice even, with your techniques in your own home, on the cheap, no ammunition required. I guess you can shoot in your own home if you want, but might upset the neighbors or your spouse just a touch. Try not to do that. And be sure to take notes, ladies and gentlemen. Inquire about the list for tonight. OurTheTime@Hotmail.com is my email. I'll send it back to you as an attachment. Also, input for future broadcast tomorrow night. I don't care. What have you. All righty, ladies and gentlemen, here's a musical break. And stay tuned for more information for you new firearms or old firearms owners who need a refresher.
Are you ready to be in the best shape of your life? Are you ready to leave behind the excuses as to why you are not as healthy as you could be? Are you ready to take charge of your health and fitness? If you answered yes to some or all of these, then please join us every Wednesday evening at 10 p.m. on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network for the Inner Athlete Radio Program. Hosted by myself, James Jankowicz, the Inner Athlete Radio Program explores the latest in health, fitness, nutrition, and the mind-body connection. So whether you're a seasoned athlete, or a couch potato ready for a change, there is information and inspiration that awaits you on the Inner Athlete Radio Show. That's every Wednesday from 10 to 11 p.m. on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. The program can also be heard on thehourofthetime.com at the same time and day. Please visit our website at innerathletetraining.com to hear archived broadcasts and read articles on health, fitness, and nutrition. Again, join us Wednesday evenings from 10 to 11 p.m. on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network or the Hour of the Time for the Inner Athlete Radio Show. See you there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley, with the Hour of the Time, 11th January 2010, this evening. And again, the email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com is my personal email. The studio number in Canada, 613-733-4324. In Eager, 928-333-2942. The website, hourofthetime.com. And our mailing address, Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when your basic kit that you buy for cleaning and maintenance will come with that proprietary brand's product, of course, Outers, Hoppies, whatever you happen to buy. But I can recommend a few products that work wonders Kroil, K-R-O-I-L, Kroil. An absolute wonderful product. I get it at the local automotive store. It's by Kano or Kano Laboratories. That's K-A-N-O. Kilo, Alpha, November, Oscar. Kano Laboratories. Out of Nashville, Tennessee. KanoLabs.com. KanoLabs.com is their website. If you can't find it in your local area, it's a wonderful place. You can order. They often have 2-for-1 deals. This product, ladies and gentlemen, is used in machining operations and used, actually, in the national match teams. It is such a fine liquid lubricant cleaner preservative that it can actually, it's the only one that I know of, actually, even though it's very dated, that it can get within a space of a millionth of an inch. So it literally can get under dirt, wedged in between the rifling and your steel barrel, and help loosen it up. It lubricates wonderfully, smells good, or at least to me. A wonderful item. Hoppy's number 9, the good old classic, works wonders. White grease. This is, again, one of those things that people neglect. Grease is a wonderful product for certain high friction points along the slide to the frame bearing surfaces, along the bolt guides between them and the bolt lugs on a rifle. And the shotgun on the slide, a very light coat, just smear it with your finger. I'm not talking squirt it on like toothpaste on your toothbrush and leave it mounded up. Several greases out there, though, will harden with time and age. I can personally recommend 2, not only based on research out there by military labs, match shooting teams, my match shooting experience, my building experience. The number one that I can recommend for a grease lubricant, because the coating's nice versus oil. Doesn't evaporate, doesn't disappear. It's on the weapon long term for use and storage both. Lubriplate. Lubriplate is used by the top shooters in the world, even. Lubriplate. Lubriplate. Number 105, it's often called. It's the original, if you will, white grease. It's white, comes in a squeeze tube. You get it at any automotive store over in that aisle where the lubricants and oils are. It's in a squeeze tube with a cap, maybe like an oversized toothpaste tube. I have a tube that's the big size for motor assembly. It fits in my little toolbox kit. You can't use it if it's not with you. So my kit is handy. It goes with me. It doesn't take up a lot of space, so it's very usable, and I'm apt to take it with me and have it when I need it. I have very teeny tubes of it in my packs that I squirted in little teeny plastic style jars that are for grease lubricants for weapons. They're very small. They hold like 1 ounce. This tube, ladies and gentlemen, with all of the firearms use that I get of 10 ounces, is about 4 years old. That's how well it works, how long it lasts, how little you need. So don't say, oh, well, it's $5 though for this tube. Well, it's $5 divided all your shooting, or in my case, massive amounts of other people shooting and training and classes as well, and my families and members of the militia around me, all sharing and using it here and there. It's $5 or $6 divided by 4 years. Kroil, you can get it in a squeeze little metal can with a little top that helps you squirt it, and also a spray aerosol can. It's just called Aero, as in A-E-R-O, Alpha, Echo, Romeo, Oscar, Aero Kroil. It's just a spray can. Wonderful again. The spray can be used just like the liquid. Spray it on a patch. You don't need to squirt liquid. And use it throughout your firearm. Tetra grease is a very high-tech product that's recommended by many people. I have used it. I have some. I own it. I'm not as happy with it as Lubriplate, to be honest with you. And I've talked to others who have the same opinion. But it is a very good product. The advantage to Lubriplate is it just comes straight from the factory. You can get it in little teeny squeeze tubes. Little teeny. That fit in a pack real nicely or a little kit. That would be its advantage. You don't have to squirt some into a smaller container. But I'd rather just squirt some in a smaller container and get what I know works and what I like. And be creative. Use an old little teeny aspirin bottle or those little teeny travel-sized pocket bottles of aspirins and Rolaids that are plastic. They make wonderful waterproof match cases. You can hold some goop in there, some grease, and you can just dispense it out with a toothpick or a nail or whatever you have on hand. So those are all sundry items you should have. They're all very inexpensive. They'll last you for years and years. So don't let the investment scare you. You just spend a lot of money on a new firearm, and now you're looking at this and that, but it's no different than buying a new vehicle or buying a new whatever. There's certain things that come along with that ownership. But I've told you on the cheap how to do several things. Old t-shirts, Q-tips, toothbrushes, the Lubriplate, etc. Now, one thing that's important, whether you're shooting or practicing or cleaning, is eye protection. You're running that toothbrush like a bat out of hell on some part, and those little bristles are flicking little oils around. They will burn your eyeball, ladies and gentlemen. They hurt getting them in the eye, so try to avoid that. And also, obviously, don't just finish cleaning a firearm or any firearms-associated equipment and then go right to eating a sandwich and licking your fingers. Wash your hands first. There's nice little microfine pieces of leads, coppers, everything in that black stain on your fingers that you just did from cleaning. Mercuries, etc., nitrates, glycerins, as in nitro. So think about that. Eye protection. You don't think about it. People skip it all the time until they're in the emergency room getting a little microfine piece of metal picked out of their eye, or getting their eyes flushed by a paramedic from some chemicals, and then they're like, damn, I should have put those safety glasses on. We provide them for shooting at the conferences. We provide them so they're available during the reloading sessions, etc. Wear them, ladies and gentlemen. If you already wear eyeglasses, you should have some that have a good ballistic lens anyway. But if you don't, put these little safety glasses on over it. Ear protection when you're shooting. Very important. These come with the new owner. Don't go out thinking it's cool to just shoot all the time with no hearing protection. I have lots of friends, younger, my age and older, that wish they hadn't done it for so long because they can't hardly hear. You get tinnitus, I think it's called, or whatever, the buzzing in the ears, you know what I mean. The little foam ear plugs are cheap. Have them in your cleaning kit, your shooting kit, whatever. Okay. Now, one other thing that's really important is the specialized tools for your particular firearm that I mentioned in the beginning. Look to, does it take in normal field stripping procedures a certain screwdriver or a certain punch or Allen wrench? Buy that little individual wrench then if you don't already have it and put that in the kit. If you've opted to have a firearm with a scope or some kind of mounting mechanism, then for sure, mounts come loose. Even when you've Loctited them, they come loose over time with travel, vibrations. You need to maintain those mounts or you'll lose zero eventually. Rough handling, you might drop your rifle down a hillside, hiking, I don't know. Travel over airlines. So if you have Torx screws on your rings, Common or Phillips screws, have those basic screwdrivers in your kit. I opted for, having used them in the electrical field, Klein Tools, K-L-E-I-N, makes a wonderful, an absolutely wonderful 12 and 16 in one screwdriver. Made in America. Excellent quality, high quality tool steel. Good price. And you have Torx, Phillips, nut drivers, Allen's, Commons, flat tipped, hollow ground, mind you, even, all in one tool. So one screwdriver in my kit does every fastener. Klein Tools, K-L-E-I-N. They're even in the big box stores. Look in the electrical tools and equipment aisle. Klein, a very good brand. One thing, though, is people need to practice their techniques, whether they're an old shooter or new to the firearms. Dry fire practice is a wonderful idea. Set up a little target in your living room, what have you. Ensure the weapon is unloaded. Ensure the weapon is unloaded. Never point and operate a firearm at anything you do not intend to destroy. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't use the word kill. I say destroy, because I wouldn't kill my front window in my living room or the windshield of my truck. But I would certainly destroy it if I was not careful and shot through it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, do not point the weapon at anything you do not intend to destroy. So even your little test target, is it on the wall in your living room, and right on the other side of that wall, is that your little child's bedroom? What if you do make a mistake and it's loaded? When you fire in your dry fire practice, what we're going to cover next, do you intend or have no problem destroying that wall and shooting through your little child? Then I guess go ahead and aim at that particular spot. So pick a spot. Like your television would be an excellent backdrop, unless on the other side of that wall is some living space and someone in bed. But a television makes a good backstop because, well, if it gets destroyed, big deal. You won't be missing much at all. Now, dry fire practice allows you to become accustomed to the firearm. Cycling procedures, clearing procedures, sight picture, breathing, trigger control, a wonderful thing I always used to do. I haven't ever really asked my mother, but I'm sure to, much to her annoyance, used to aim my M14s and M16s, etc., at the television set and look for O's or people or whatever I chose that evening. And every time one popped on the screen, dry fire. I'm sure she got sick of that in the living room, but needless to say, it works. That rapid recognition, cycling the weapon, dry firing it. When you dry fired it, did you pull off target because you're squeezing or jerking? Was your sight picture incorrect? Are you flinching even though there's nothing going bang? Are you breathing incorrectly? When you pulled and it fired, click. Were you completely off the target? So look for the little O's and commercials, people running around, what have you. Look, watch cop shows, I don't care. Good practice, as long as you're safe. Now, there's accoutrements if you want to use, and you should use, for dry fire practice. And this can be done with an automatic. You just cycle the slide each time, whether it's a handgun or an AR or M14 system, an FN, I don't care. Cycle it each time. That's good practice for that immediate click. Oh, it didn't go bang like it was supposed to. I need to recycle that weapon, feed a new round, eject the bad one. So you get multiple lessons out of this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. On the sheet I'm offering, if you email me, hourthetime@hotmail.com, you'll see dry fire practice. They're just dummy rounds. And you insert them in the chamber, and they take the blow of the firing pin in grace. They last make the mechanisms actually hit something like they're designed to do. They don't fire. They're definitely different and identified, totally different than a round of ammunition. And they're good to have. You can make your own, of course, too. I've done that, just having a case resized that goes in the chamber easily, or a fired case that goes in that particular weapon. knock out the primer, drill holes all in the case so it can't hold powder. It's obvious it can't be reloaded. And put a bullet in place and crimp it in there. And this case full of holes, there's no way it can be loaded and used dangerously. And then some red eraser tip off of a wooden pencil, piece of fiberglass rod, what have you, stuck in the primer pocket for the firing pin to hit. A good little homemade practice tool. Now, a lot of you may not be handy or just not feel like it, so you can buy dummy cartridges for that purpose. And, of course, feeding it. Now, we'll get onto that after this musical break. I need to get a drink. My voice is getting hoarse here. Gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley, with the Hour of the Time this evening, January 11th of 2010. And tonight, covering, again, what does the new firearm owner need to have as basic essentials to operate, to own, to function, to get by. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a couple more things I want to cover. I finally looked at my own list. That would help keep on track. Pipe cleaners, wonderful extra tools, just like Q-tips for getting inside little tubes and spaces. Pipe cleaners for pipes. Get them in the smoke section of a general store or where have you. Go to the hardware store. another item to have on the list. We covered the oils and greases that I personally, as well as millions of others, can recommend. We've also covered the basic tools, the sundry items like Q-tips, old t-shirts cut up, a cheap little toolbox or fish and tackle box to throw your cleaning stuff in. Because again, just like a survival kit, if it's unmanageable or unruly, you probably won't use it. And you can go as cheap or as expensive as you feel like going. Like any other thing out there in life, ladies and gentlemen. Now, don't get more than you need either. Bill had this kit that looked like, I'm not exaggerating, I should take a picture because you won't believe how big it was. There's this huge, huge rifle stand, box, tool thing. I'm talking old school size of Samsonite hard-sided luggage going overseas for a month size. Well, it had everything known to man in it, but he never used it. So that's kind of pointless. So don't get more than you need, ladies and gentlemen, or can handle or manage, just like anything else in life. Now, how to feed it? Good quality ammunition. Don't buy that cheap East Block steel case lacquered crap. I get more guns in my shop that just need a thorough, intense scrubbing where we have to use power tools to scrub the lacquer out of the bores and out of the chambers and mechanisms from that ammunition because they won't even function anymore. The firearm won't. So now you're paying shop hours or you've got a huge amount of time invested in very high-end chemicals. You didn't save anything. Either reload the ammunition yourself or buy quality ammunition. You can get quality ammunition on the cheap. Go in with three or four friends and buy a big chunk. But there's a general rule some people follow. Take whatever you think you're going to shoot in a year, and be honest, you know. Yeah, I want to shoot 1,000 rounds a month. Well, you probably aren't going to. So be practical. You're probably going to shoot a box here, a box there, of 20 rifle here and there maybe, or 50 pistol here and there. And I'm being realistic based on what I see in real life versus people's wishes versus what they actually do. But what you think you're going to shoot in a year, have 5 times that in reserve or total in possession. So if you think you're going to shoot 100 rounds a year in a given rifle, then have 500 set back. And of course, have as much as possible. That's always good. But I'm telling you, if you need a minimum goal to shoot for, that's a good test right there. And of course, resupply what you use up. Budget it. If you can't afford to restock, then you can't afford to be shooting, ladies and gentlemen. So you have to think about that. That's what caused the huge glut in the system since Obama's election. It wasn't just his election. He was the stimulus, of course, for it. But many people that are rushing out, buying stuff way overpriced because they caused a shortage in the supply system, are stocking because they ran around like fools for Y2K, and they've used it up over 9 years, 8 years. And now they're like, holy cow, I need more because of Obama. Oh, wait, and also 80% low in my Y2K stash. So that's what caused a lot of the glut, ladies and gentlemen. So have what you need, what you think you're going to shoot, times 5. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, don't forget input for future broadcasts. Request this cheat sheet I made. Again, you're listening to your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. The website is hourofthetime.com. My personal email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and I hope everyone has a safe and wonderful evening.